So if you're a mom who feels exhausted, overwhelmed, and like no matter what you do, it's never enough, this episode is for you. So today we're joined by Dr. Susan Lander. She is a neonatologist with over 30 years of experience caring for newborns and supporting families. She's the author of So Many Babies, host of Moms Matter podcast, and someone who deeply understands why what moms are carrying, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. So, Susan, it's so good to have you here. This is a very important topic. There's so many moms going through maternal burnout, and we're here to talk about it.
Good. Thanks, Lisa. This is really important. Some new data has come out recently, some reports from various groups who survey moms, and women who are midlife, especially those taking care of a teen or aging parents in the sandwich generation. Or a neurodivergent child, like with autism spectrum, ADHD, or single moms, have a risk of maternal burnout over 50%. Think about that. That means half of those midlife women in those situations are feeling physically and emotionally exhausted. Depleted. I found out recently that in Europe, this is called depleted mother syndrome. And I think that's such a good term because what I'm reading about and what I'm hearing about from women who write to me is total depletion. They're exhausted. They don't understand why. It may be related to their children. But it's not always. Sometimes it's related to the bad boss or the bad manager or to a totally awful schedule, no schedule flexibility. Sometimes it's financial worries. Sometimes it's a relationship problem with a spouse or a partner. So working mother burnout is not always about kids. And here's the deal, Lisa. Working mothers, women who are mothers and who work full time, they have this big job they do full time, and then they have being a mother. And so the reason we get into this situation is we all think we are supposed to do everything. God knows where that notion came from. And nowadays, we see each other on social media and we think, oh, well, she's pretty perfect. She's doing it. I should be able to do it too. Because humans are very comparison oriented. So we think we're supposed to be able to handle everything. Maybe we have a husband who helps out around the house or does some cooking. Most women don't. Maybe we have a boss that lets us have a flexible schedule. Most women don't. My daughter's working 3 12-hour shifts a week, and sometimes they're nights and sometimes they're days. And she has a pretty good husband who picks up the pieces. What would a single mom do with a schedule like that? Childcare costs have gone through the roof. Affordability is a real big deal. Even if our president thinks it's not, most working moms think that affordability is something. It's difficult. So women are working, trying to manage the household, preferably with a partner or a helper. And many of us do not have any support outside of our partner or spouse. Think about it. Do you live close to your mother? Are you good friends with your neighbor? Does your best buddy live close to you? The answer these days is usually no. Most people don't live near their family of origin. So, what women are doing is everything and they're doing it without adequate support. I remember the day that my youngest was bitten by a dog. She was out in the yard playing with some of the neighborhood kids. And my neighbor, whose dog it was, by the way, showed up and said, "Take her to the ER. I'll watch the other kids." My husband was away at a meeting. I don't know what I would have done if I had to go to the ER with my bleeding 3-year-old and two other kids, and we were there for 6 hours. And so I had a support system. I had a neighbor who was willing to help. How many of us have a work colleague that might share school pickup with us? How many of us have a sister nearby or a best friend nearby who you can bounce off errands with? So these things, our modern culture has asked us to do everything, or we think it has. It's given us too much to do without good schedules. It's costing us too much money, and we don't have any support.
A lot.
That's how we got here. That's how we got to high rates of maternal burnout. And men get burned out too. Single dads probably don't have a clue how to be super mom. I had two partners here in Austin whose husbands were stay-at-home dads, and they used to complain to me at parties when I talked to them and say, "How's it going?" They'd say, "This is really hard, and I'm like a stay-at-home dad." And they both had three kids, so it was a lot. So it really does affect both genders, but I think we hear about it more with women. I wonder if that's because we're talking to each other or asking each other questions about how we manage this, that, or the other. But it's a big problem right now. And I wanted to talk about it to let women know that there are some solutions. There are some strategies that you can use when you get burned out.
Yeah, that's great, because with today's society, I feel like you said, it's so typical for people to show up looking like they have everything together. We open up
Yes.
social media and we see these images of these moms with several children, and they look so put together. And then
Yeah.
when we're falling apart, we're comparing ourselves to everything on the outside, trying to support ourselves, trying to support our kids, bringing enough money in, having time for ourselves, like managing
Yeah.
relationships. Oh my
Right.
gosh, it's overwhelming.
So it is. So how do you know that you're burned out? I had some symptoms when it happened to me in my mid-40s, and I've read about the current symptoms, and they're the same. You're irritable, you fuss at your kids or yell at your kids, you have problems with your spouse or partner, you're losing sleep, you feel disoriented or foggy, you've kind of lost your ability to find any joy in your life. Like, can you imagine watching your child play soccer on Saturday afternoon, your day off, and you're looking at them going, "Oh God, I've got so much to do," instead of being joyful because the kids out there learning to play football or soccer. So women wake up and find themselves drinking more wine, eating more junk food, fussing at their children, picking arguments with their spouse, not sleeping, hating their manager. Not always. That was one of my issues when I had mom burnout. And they what they notice is almost like they feel depressed. Depression and burnout are really similar. Depression is maybe a little bit more persistent and pervasive. They're both big deals. Burnout and depression are both important for women to recognize and be aware of. And I also learned recently, I was reading a book written by this psychologist, and she said something that I think is true, and that is the first step in recovery from burnout is saying, I'm burned out. Is saying,
Awareness piece.
I'm overdone. Awareness is the first step. If you cannot say, I'm exhausted, I'm burned out, I can't do this, something's got to give. There is no way you can recover. So, yes, awareness and self-compassion. We're really bad at self-compassion. Are you good at that, Lisa? I'm not very
No.
good at it.
Terrible.
I had to teach myself to be compassionate when I was burned out. And it's not difficult. That's not true. It is difficult to recover from burnout because it takes some time. It's a process. It's not impossible. If you have to continue to work full time, it's going to take you longer than if you can take off a week or 2 weeks or take a sabbatical. But I kept working full time when I was burned out. And it took me about a year to recover.
Wow.
But there are some specific strategies that help women. The first big deal is some kind of break, a night off, a weekend off, some process that allows you to step back, think about what happened, what you're going to do, look at your priorities. Some kind of break, even if it's a micro break, even if it's a day off from work. The kids are at school and you're at home thinking about things. The next step is picking priorities. What has to give? Something's got to give. When you're burned out, it's either your schedule, your workload, your kids' activities, your spouse's, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your elder parents, your lack of help with your neurodivergent child, your terror at your teenager who's going off the deep end. And so something's got to give. And the first step after you say, I'm there, is to figure out which priorities are the most important. So if it's elder care, what are your siblings doing? And who's helping? And where are they living? And what are all those financial responsibilities about? If it's your neurodivergent kid, your kid with ADHD or autism spectrum disorder, it's who's going to help you one day a week take care of this child? Where are you going to get extra care after school because you need the help? If it's your job, do you have a mentor at work? Can you sit down and talk about your schedule, your workload, your priorities? So there's always something that has to give. So the first step is, what are their priorities? What's got to go and what's got to stay? And that's hard for some people because you have to learn how to say no. You have to learn how to set boundaries, right?
Yeah, and I think that like we were talking about, our society makes us feel like we should be able to handle it all, and then
Right.
we feel like we're failing. And so to say
Right.
to someone, I'm struggling, I'm not doing okay, is really, really difficult, especially for overperformers, high achievers, and perfectionists.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Perfectionism. I wrote a book recently called Good Enough is Your Superpower because perfectionists, me included in my past life, always think they're not doing enough. When in
Yeah.
fact, if you're working full time and you're a mom to your kids, you're probably good enough. You're hitting the high spots and you're doing the best you can. But Perfectionists hold themselves to a standard that is unreasonable. We have tapes from childhood that say you have to be the good girl, or you have to be quiet, or you have to perform, or you have to make A's, or you have to negotiate, or you have to be the mediator, or whatever those messages are from your parents, your teachers, your coaches. You're hearing them. It's your inner critic. Perfectionists have a very strong inner critic. If I'm burned out, I should not have to go talk to my manager about schedule changes. Well, yes, you should. Yeah, that's okay to go talk to your manager about changing your schedule or remote work or a flexible schedule. If you're burned out, it's okay to say to your husband, I'm at the end of my rope. You're going to have to help with these household chores, or we're going to have to hire a maid or housekeeper or a part-time babysitter. Something's got to give. And you know what? When I was burned out, I went to work and I confided in another friend, another physician who was working full-time and she had two kids. She felt the same way I did, and I didn't know that. I mean, we're so good at hiding when we're struggling, especially perfectionists. Perfectionists are really good at hiding. So, seeking support from anybody in your life that is supportive is important. After you've taken a break and sort through in your mind what your priorities are. Then you've got to schedule some me time. Now, everybody expects me to say, you've got to get better sleep and you've got to eat better and you've got to exercise. But most working moms don't have time for exercise. They do have time for some sitting down, micro meditations, journaling, practicing gratitude. They do have time for some techniques that are short and simple. I use Calm, Calm. It's an app I have on my phone. I think there's some others that are very good, but if I'm sitting in the car transitioning between work and home, I pull out a 5-minute meditation, and apparently marking your transitions between work and home, between work and children is a good way to tell your brain, okay, I'm off the clock now. I'm going into mom mode, and it's okay for me to let the work stuff go till tomorrow. Having a transition, so those little micro meditations, those little micro practices of gratitude, I like to write at night. I've always journaled a little bit at night, but when I'm busy, if I'd rather go to sleep than journal, I'll choose going to sleep. So the transition markers are important. The me time is important. Of course, what you eat and drink is important. We've talked on this podcast before about alcohol and how drinking alcohol is a bad way to handle stress. I'm sure you've stopped drinking alcohol. I actually did stop drinking in my 60s because it was hurting me.
Yeah, it's so hard on the body.
It is. It just numbs your feelings. It doesn't really help you deal with anything. What other ways can women get out, recover from burnout? Support systems. Scheduling me time. Oh, here's another good one I read about. When you're creating your schedule for the week, put in a 1 hour block somewhere, and it's called spontaneous. And when spontaneous comes around, you can do whatever you want. You can call your friend, you can put your feet up at your desk, you can go and do some yoga. You can do a walk in the park near where you work. You can do whatever you want. It's spontaneous. And that clears our minds. I used to try that at work when I was at the hospital and I was kind of up to here with stress. I would take off, I didn't do a whole hour, I did 15 minutes, and I would walk down 8 flights of stairs and would walk outside to the courtyard. And I would walk around the courtyard, whether it was, shady or preferably shady or sunny. And I'd walk back up 8 flights of stairs. And you know what? I felt a whole lot better. It's amazing. And psychologists tell us that things like that, where we just stop and take a break, are so important for mental health. It just helps the stress go away. So, me time and spontaneous time are two important ways for you to feel like I'm taking care of me. What else? What else is on the list of ways to recover? Can you think of anything else I've forgotten?
I think the like making sure we're eating, like making, I know a lot of busy moms will skip breakfast, for example,
Oh, yeah.
and it's so easy to, say, oh, well, I'm not going to worry about that today. But those habits, those little habits that we keep stacked to keep us ourselves healthy will keep us really strong,
Yes,
right? So
yes.
we have to make sure that we're looking after our health. It's so important.
Exactly. Protein in the morning. 15 to 25 grams of protein before noon is imperative. So even if you just eat a thing of yogurt, or take one of those protein bars with you and eat it on the way you're driving to work, that's very, very important. Hydration is very important. And then there is physical activity. And once I was able to set my priorities and figure out what I needed to do to recover from burnout, I went to the gym with a friend one day a week. She didn't like the class we were taking, so we switched to yoga because she liked yoga, but we went together. And so when you do something with a friend, it's accountability. So she's going to say, "Oh, come on, let's go." And you're going to say, "I don't really want to go today." And she's going to say, "Come on, come on. We've already scheduled it. We already paid for the class." So having a buddy to keep you accountable to go do a workout or go do a yoga class or just talk on the phone. What if you just made a deal with yourself to talk on the phone to your best friend who's also a working mom, and you were going to call her once a week, not text, call, talk, listen, vent. I read another study recently, which I kind of laughed at when I read it. It said women really get enjoyment out of talking to other women. I thought that was hilarious. Of course we do. We've always done that. We have always done that. It is something that we do. It's in our nature to talk to each other. And I read another study recently that said that if you can talk to a stranger, that increases your happiness. Now, I'm not too sure about that. I'm not very good at talking to strangers, so I've been trying it recently. I talked to the custodian at the gym, and I talked to the lady checking out at the grocery store, and I talked to somebody at the shoe repair. And you know what? It really works. It's crazy. If you, my daughters are always saying, "Do not talk to people in an elevator. It's so embarrassing." But if you just chuckle and say something with somebody else, it really does make you feel better. And so we know there are ways to recover from burnout, but it's a journey. It's not a, "I'm going to be better in a week." It's not even, "I'm going to be better in a month." It's going to be a plan, setting priorities, setting boundaries, saying no to extra work, saying yes to a housekeeper, dragging your husband or partner into the equation and figuring out who's going to do what of household chores. You can't do it all. You cannot do it all. I want working moms to know that you are good enough doing what you are doing. But if you're burned out, you're not going to last. You're not going to make it. And you can't enjoy your children. We all had children because we thought it would be fun and they would bring joy into our lives. But when you're burned out, you lose your ability to feel joy and you become detached from whatever it is that sort of sent you over the edge. So the way to get better is to pull back, set your priorities, decide what has to give, talk to the people who will help you figure that out, talk to the people who help with support, and make some decisions about what's going to be different. And it's doable.
Absolutely.
I'm living proof that it's doable.
Yeah, we all survive, right? Where humans are so resilient. There's always really there's always low times and there's high times. And I really realize that life is just full of ups and downs. And eventually we figure it out. We think we do, and then something else comes into the picture. Susan, what would you say to the mom who feels like she's failing right now?
Oh, I would say, oh, you are not failing. If you are present, if you love your children, if you're trying to do a good job, if you're working and caring for kids, you are not failing. You have just been asked by our society to do too much. You cannot do two full-time jobs at the same time. And if you have a teen or a neurodivergent child, or you've got elderly parents, or you've got financial worries, or even if you're in perimenopause, you're going through stress. And that stress is going to overtake you. And so for those moms, you're doing a good enough job, but still something's got to give. When you're burned out, something's got to give. And that something starts with you. You're the only person who can figure out what has to go, what stays, how to set your priorities, when to say no, who you can count on, and what you're going to do to make yourself feel better.
Absolutely. Susan, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. I think it was a really important one for mothers to hear.
Me too. Thanks. I agree.
And yeah, absolutely. So many moms are silently struggling with this, and just hearing that they're not alone can really be life-changing. So if you're listening and if this resonated, we'll make sure to have Dr. Susan Lander's information in the show notes so you can connect with her and dive deeper into her work. Susan, is there any last-minute things that you'd like to leave the audience with today?
I have lots of articles about burnout and burnout recovery in my newsletter, Moms Matter, on Substack. And so please take advantage of that. There's a free subscription, and you don't have to pay to read what I've put out there for working moms. I think working moms need to give themselves a pat on the back. They're doing a lot, they're doing more than any regular person can handle.
I agree. I agree 1,000%. And if this episode resonated with you or helped you at all, please share it with a mom who needs to hear the message today. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. Until next time, take care and moms matter. Bye.
Bye.